Let us pray. Holy Lord, as we come into your house this day, seeking your blessing upon us, seeking your inspiration in our lives, your healing touch, your love, we just ask, O God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. This week in the Gospel of Mark, we have Jesus dealing with two females, one of which has been ill for 12 years, and the other is a 12-year-old girl who is on the brink of death. Jesus dealing with two women would have brought some attention to the readers of the Gospel of Mark. Since Jesus is not related to either of them, he should not be touching them, he should not be talking to them. This certainly would have raised some eyebrows of the people of the day, to say the least. And as we'll find out shortly, that's just the start of it all. Last week we looked at Jesus teaching people from a boat to the shore, to those gathered on the shore. He was teaching them about the kingdom of God through stories, parables. And last week we looked at particular types of stories when he was teaching them by using examples of seeds and about how the seeds can grow. After he had taught them, they took the boat to the other side of the sea, and while he was there, Jesus healed a man of demons. He cast demons out of a man. And after he had done that, he got back in the boat and went back to the other side. And as he approached the shoreline, you could see that there was a great crowd waiting there for him. So as Jesus steps out of the boat into the crowd, a leader from the temple comes to see him. And he asks him for help. Jairus tells Jesus that his daughter is dying. She's very, very sick and expected to die soon. He begs Jesus to come to his home and see his daughter. So as they make their way to the home of Jairus, a great crowd, of course, is following him along the way, and I'm sure there's lots of bustling and pushing about. And in this crowd is a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years. She has spent all of her money on doctors trying to get better, trying to end this illness which causes her to bleed. And after all her money is gone, she was nowhere near being well. Nothing had changed. In fact, we're told in the gospel reading that she's even worse than she was before. And then she hears that Jesus has come. He's back in her town, so she seeks to find him. She wants to get close to him. She knows deep in her heart, she feels deep in her heart that he is the only one who can help. And so she works her way through the crowd, and when she's close enough, she reaches out and just manages to touch the hem of his robe. I wonder how many times we are touched in a day, especially if you're walking through a busy store or in a crowd somewhere. I mean, I don't think we realize it as much. I don't think I would notice if someone just barely grazed against me as I was shopping. Yet, as Jesus is in this crowd, a woman reaches out and touches just the edge of his clothing, and he stops. And why does he stop? We're told he stops because he has felt the power go out of him. Now this woman, when she reached out and touched him, she was instantly healed. The bleeding stopped. She is healed of her disease. So yes, power has gone out of Jesus to heal this woman. Now the interesting part of this story, or one of the interesting parts of the story, compared to other healing stories we've looked at recently, it's in those other stories Jesus chose to reach out and heal these people. He chose to speak to these people and they would be healed. But that's not the case here. This is different. Jesus is walking by and someone reached out and touched him without him knowing, and she was healed. Jesus didn't choose to heal her. But the power of the Spirit left him and went into the woman, and she was healed. And then what happens is the opposite of what we would expect. It would be the opposite of what Mark's audience would expect. This woman has been bleeding for 12 years. That means she is unclean. By the law of the day, she is unclean. Everyone who comes in contact with this woman is also unclean. When someone is unclean, it is seen as spreading quickly. Anyone who comes into contact with this woman who is bleeding, or even her belongings, they are unclean as well. Think of it like a virus that's passed on from person to person. And everyone who comes in contact with that virus is at risk for picking it up. The only way to stop a virus is what? Quarantine, right? So if you can't be in contact with someone else, then you just wait until the virus leaves, so you're well. Then the virus stops. This woman has walked into a big crowd. So she's taken on a huge risk. That's how desperate she is. Everyone she comes in contact with, everyone she bumps up against, are technically unclean as well. And they would need to undertake certain rituals. They would have to separate themselves from the community for a certain amount of time, roughly about a week, until they would be seen as clean again. So we've seen that this woman is desperate. Unclean for 12 years. Shunned for 12 years. Can you imagine? 12 years of no contact with anyone. How lonely would that be? No one's willing to touch you. No one's willing to come close to you. How badly would you just want it to finally be done? How badly would you crave just for someone to come up and touch your hand? So she sees her opportunity and she goes for it. She reaches out and touches his clothes. Whatever she can reach, it's going to be enough. She just feels that way. She just needs to touch something of his. She hopes, she believes that to be the case. And sure enough, it is. She's healed. Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Now, this is a story within a story, right? Remember, Jairus is still there. And I would think that Jairus, who's in a huge rush, I would think he'd be losing his mind, wouldn't he? He's got great concern for his daughter. She's about to die, so he wants Jesus to hurry it up. Get on with it. There's work to be done. Let's go. But then he stops. Just because someone touched him? He's probably feeling a little crazy at that moment. And then as he's trying to pull Jesus along, Jesus stops and he talks to the woman. And while Jesus is talking, people from the household of Jairus come to him and say, "It's too late. Your daughter is dead." Now, Jairus has probably lost control of his emotion at this point. I would. Any parent would. And so Jesus turns to him and offers him some words of comfort, I think. He says, "Do not fear, only believe." And so they continue along the journey, probably a little slower now. And Jesus arrives at the house and he sees people in there wailing and weeping. And he tells them to calm it down. She's just asleep. And we're told that everyone in the house laughed at him when he said this. So Jesus takes the parents and they go to the girl and he takes her by her hand and he tells her to get up. Talitha kumi. Get up. And the girl gets up and she begins to walk. Now, what rings in my ear for this story is those words from Jesus to her father. He says, "Do not fear, only believe." I know I would be a complete wreck if one of my children were dying. Yet Jesus, with all of his reputation, his authority, he tells Jairus, do not fear, only believe. Hearing what Jesus has been up to, I wonder what happened in Jairus' heart when he heard those words. You'd almost have to think there'd be some sort of faint glimmer of hope all of a sudden that wasn't there before. That in the words that she died, he would have been crushed. His heart would have been broken. But then Jesus says, do not fear, only believe. There may have been just a reignition of that little glimmer of hope, the little spark emerging. And I like to think that when Jesus said it, he had a little sparkle in his eye, maybe a little wink. And I can see the disciples now kind of standing back, saying, whoa, you see that? I can't wait to see what's going to happen next. And then Jesus goes off, and yes, he does the impossible. He brings the girl back to life. And you'd almost have to think this is something that people are getting used to at this point. Although he hasn't brought anybody back to life yet, but he certainly healed a lot of people. Another interesting fact about the death of the girl is that when she died, even during her illness, but especially after she dies, she's now unclean for sure. To touch a dead body makes you unclean. And Jesus goes in and touches her hand. So when he touches her hand, do we hear Scripture say Jesus has become unclean? No, we hear Jesus touches her hand and she comes back to life. The story of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark is about the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one of God, being revealed into human history. So as the Son of God, Jesus cannot be unclean. He is perfect. He is sinless. He is clean, pure. He is God. So by the touch of the bleeding woman, Jesus should have become unclean, even if he didn't initiate the contact. Just like when he took the hand of the girl, he should have become unclean. But instead, his power went out, and it took the uncleanliness away. It took the unclean and made it clean. In the death of the girl, touching her hand, instead of becoming unclean, his power goes out and she becomes clean. She regains her life. Now we understand that these two women were not sinners. That was not the cause of their illness. It was illness that was making them unclean. So anyone who touches them becomes unclean. Because who would know if they didn't pick up the disease for themselves when they touched the other? Yet in Jesus, cleanliness spreads to the unclean. No one else has this power. The bleeding woman had no life for 12 years because of her illness. The 12-year-old girl lost her life because of her illness. Yet in both key cases, Jesus gives life back to them. Literally to the young girl, but also to the woman, because she can now re-enter society. She's free to touch people. She's free to communicate with people. No longer will people run from her as she approaches. No longer will she have to sit at the side of the road and say, don't come near me, I'm unclean, you can't touch me. These are amazing gifts from Jesus. Neither of them really asked for it, though. The bleeding woman had a belief, she had a strong belief that just touching Jesus would be enough. And it was. She was just hoping something might happen. For the young girl, she was unable to ask for help. It was her father who ran and begged Jesus to come. So even though they weren't really looking for direct help, they got it. They received a gift. They found it. We look at Jairus. He was desperate for Jesus to come to his home. He begged Jesus to come. And no doubt he was pulling Jesus along as fast as he could by the sleeve. rushing to get to his daughter, just like any of us would. Jesus had other plans. Jesus stopped along the way. He helped another woman who needed him. And after Jesus asked who had touched him, we read in verse 33, "But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth." Jesus stood there in the midst of this rush to get to Jairus' house, and he stood there with this woman and he listened to her story. Probably wasn't short. Meanwhile, Jairus had another plan. It's like, let's get to the house. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. It's taking too long. Jesus agreed to follow him, but Jesus didn't agree to his timeline. Jesus had other work to do on his way. That's something we need to hear. When we invite Jesus into our lives, we need to relinquish some of our desire for control. We need to give up on our own preconceived plans for how things are going to work out. Because guess what? It's probably not going to go exactly to our plan. Jesus knows what we need. Jesus knows we need his healing in our broken lives. But sometimes his timeline is quite different than what we would like it to be. Probably far more than what we would like it to be. So we need to remember those words Jesus said to Jairus. "Do not fear, only believe." Trust. Trust me, Jesus is saying. Trust in Jesus. Sure, it's not as easy as you might think because we have our own plans, don't we? We need to trust that Jesus will do what is right, but he'll do it at the right time, which may not be our time. God's time is always the right time. Life is a long journey. A journey of ups and downs, a journey of hills and valleys, a journey of suffering and celebration. And through it all, we might be able to see where God has been active in places we didn't expect. At times when we didn't know where else we could turn. Sometimes we initiate it ourselves, but more often than not, God steps in when we need him most, if we're open to him coming in. Jesus is on this journey with us. When the power of the world begins to overtake us, he releases a bit of his healing power to help us carry on. When darkness, sin, pain, or the stress of life begin to overwhelm us, Jesus can help take some of that away. Our darkness, our uncleanliness cannot keep Jesus apart from us. He has the power to offer his light, his cleanliness into our lives, and he does it freely. In this great journey we call life, we are never truly alone. God is with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.